Welcome to Legends with Bevo. Thanks to the Holdy Hotel, Coopers, and Anytime Fitness Glenelg.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Legends Live here at the Holdy Hotel. And tonight we've got a wonderful guest. He played 135 games with Centrals back in the day, 5 premierships, and 38 games for the Saints as well. Daniel Hughes, Heels Healy. Big round of applause for Heels.
Thanks, Bevo.
Now, I mentioned before, obviously, 38 games for the Saints. Talk to us through your journey, mate, and how you end up playing for the Saints, and then obviously we'll go into the Dogs a bit later on, that amazing dynasty as well.
So I was a young kid growing up, country SA, Hamley Bridge, about an hour north of here, a bit more than an hour north of the Holdy, but and into Central's area, and lucky enough, I was 21 at the time, so unlike today when most kids are 18, and even then it was probably older than most. I attracted a bit of interest in my last year at Centrals and nominated for the draft. I'd considered nominating earlier, and then Alan Stewart, who was coach of Centrals, encouraged me to hang on one more year, didn't think I was ready. Then was lucky enough, or unlucky enough, depends on how you look at the St Kilda Footy Club, to be drafted there at the end of 95.
And you went at number 6 as well, I believe, which is pretty impressive for you. You must have been a pretty handy player.
I do believe I've been rated as the worst number 6 draft pick on record, which is something to behold. I think I also made centre forward of the worst St Kilda side in history as well. So, no, it's been a pretty, it was a pretty coveted trip. So, yeah, I don't know how to take it when people say that, because obviously at number 6 you're supposed to be able to get a kick and play more than 38 games. So, poor old Johnny Beveridge, who's a legendary recruiter at St Kilda. It might have been one of his misses, unfortunately. But I had a fantastic time in Melbourne. I live with Darryl and Shane Wakeman, so I learned plenty about football and plenty about living off-field as well with those two. So it was a fantastic time, and it was a time when the Saints were actually reasonably successful. I was emergency for 97 GF, which I'm sure there might be some Crows supporters here tonight who would remember that more fondly than me. And we had Wimmer, Harvey, Lockett, Burke, Lowe, Ozzie Jones and Joel Smith and that crew were coming through. So it was a really successful side. It was a bloody good time. So I don't regret one bit of it, but the only bit that I would have liked is a few more games on the park.
Hey, 38 games of AFL is, in anyone's opinion, is a pretty good effort though, Hills. But round number 3, 1994, you made your debut against the West Coast Eagles. Do you remember how you went, and what was it like actually running onto the oval and making your debut? It must have been a huge thrill for you, no doubt.
Yeah, so that was, I'm not sure if it might have been round 3, I was thinking it was a bit later in the year than that, but certainly I went over there with this expectation that I was going to play every game, and that didn't happen, obviously. And yeah, it was sort of early to mid-year, Nicky Wimmer was injured, so the wing spot had come available, and I went over there, and I think I got my first kick in about the third or the last quarter. I ended up kicking a goal, we got smashed, and Matera was on me for a little while, so to be honest, my head was spinning, would be how I'd remember that day. It wasn't the greatest experience. It was fantastic to be there and travel with the team, but you know, I probably worked out that I wasn't quite up to it at that stage, to be honest.
And what was it like, though, to play with some of the greatest players of all time and against those, like, you know, playing AFL footy as a young fella? That must have been a pretty big buzz, though, for you.
It was. One of the things that happened at the time was Port were coming into the competition, and they were keen for people, myself and there were others they targeted, to ask to stay one more year in the sample. They were hopeful of getting the licence the year after. And whilst a lot of people now are looking to stay in the same state that I actually wanted to get to Melbourne, I felt like that was where it was happening. I was 21, so I'd been living out of home for a while. And so to end up at St Kilda, although not a glamour club, and certainly not a club with a lot of money, and I must admit when I went there, their resources and the facilities were underwhelming. It was almost like they weren't that much different, because it was an old Moorabbin back then, and it was almost like they weren't that much different to Elizabeth. But to be around the names that I talked about earlier, and to be into the limelight of Melbourne and just a city that absolutely breathes football like we do here in Adelaide, but yeah, it was amazing.
Did you have a mentor as well when you started at the Saints, and if so, who was it?
Not really a mentor. Again, I guess I wasn't a kid when I went there. Certainly Darryl and Shane were fantastic. I joked before, and there's plenty we could talk about after hours as to what went on as well, but they were fantastic as far as supporting me. They'd been living with host parents. They weren't long over there themselves, and they're the same age as me, and we decided to get a house together. So as far as understanding diet and professional standards and training, they were fantastic. But probably, again, Harvey, Lowe and Burke were our three leaders, and they were just three out, they were three guys who were outstanding at getting the best out of themselves. And so to look at those three as far as how you prepare yourself and what you do on and off the field, they were fantastic mentors.
And after the AFL career, obviously you came back to the Dogs. Not in your wildest dreams, I can imagine you would have thought to have gone and win five premierships. But when you came back to the Dogs, what was the feeling like there? And how did you sort of end up back at Centrals? Were there thoughts of going to another Sandford club or playing VFL footy? Or what's the situation there?
Yeah, when I got delisted, my first thought was, I want to go back and have team success. Clearly, people are telling me I'm not good enough at this level, and now I want to make sure that the team success bit comes in. I did try and play the game with Chris Grant, with Granny, that, you know, there were clubs in Melbourne chasing me, and I might even look to other clubs. And to be honest, I reckon Frankston rang me, and they said they wouldn't. They tried to show some interest, but didn't have a heap of money to throw at me. I had a couple of regional clubs in Victoria. I think I had Millicent ring me about captain coaching there. So I'm not sure if it was feedback that I'm no good or people just assumed I was, but I didn't have a heap of, and in my heart there was no, I was coming home, and certainly Centrals was it if I came home as well. Yeah.
And when that final siren went in 2000, what was the feeling like? You know, I can imagine it just must have been just surreal. You know, the fact that obviously that finally we broke that premiership drought after trying so many times, Hills.
It was. I think it helped that I'd been there in 94, 95. We lost the first one in 95 to Port. So I did have a sense of what this meant to the, I just remember back in 95 when we played in that losing one, feeling like an absolute rock star going back to the club. They had the presentations on the oval, and it was the biggest thing I've ever seen, even though we lost. So you knew what it meant to the people. So 2000, there was a lot of newer people into the group then, and I'm not sure we all got the enormity of it. I felt for and thought of the people, the supporters. We had so many loyal, long-standing supporters out there who just seen some, you know, mediocre, underachieving footy club for so long. So to see tears in their eyes, people, I was out with the Gowans a couple of years ago. We had people come up and said, we want to buy you a beer for what you've done for us. And we hadn't necessarily met these guys before, but there's people that club was their heart and soul. So it was really, I guess, special for them. It was special for us as a group, and clearly we didn't know what was to come. The bit that probably we did get sold, I remember Rick McGowan talking about the story that we were told that if we won the flag we'd never have to work again, and so we all rang and resigned from our jobs on Monday, and by Friday we were begging to have them back. We were reminded by the club that perhaps we weren't going that well. So we do joke about the fact that we thought we were going to have the keys to the city, and reality hit us pretty quick.
You touched on the Gowans boys. You're one of the big parts in getting the Gowans boys back to, or when I say back to, actually to South Australia. That obviously spent the majority of their life in Victoria. Talk to us through your friendship with the boys and how you sort of got them back to Adelaide.
Well, I wouldn't say I was friends with them. They're just a couple of, as we all know them, they're a couple of annoying little redheads that came to St Kilda on the rookie list. And you know, we'd go out on a Saturday night in Melbourne, and I'd be out with Daryl and Shane and the other boys, and these boys would be knocking on the window trying to get into these nightclubs, and we'd sort of say, no, boys, not tonight. So, you know, they're a bit annoying, to be honest, but the end of the year came, and I felt for them. They didn't have anywhere else to go. They clearly weren't good enough to play AFL footy, and so I said, why don't you come over and try? If I can be serious now for a second, again, when I did talk to Granny about we need team success, I've got these two fellas, and to be honest, they weren't that well known. And Grant, and there was a bit of a resistance to the whole idea. I think part of it was because you're going to have to pay for two people to come in the state, and that's not that easy. And we'd already recruited Danny Stevens and Conan Ford and a few others. And so it wasn't until the first night of training when I reckon they lapped half the group, including myself, and showed that they could kick left and right and look to right, that people started saying, hey, you might be on something, Hills. So that was pretty cool how that all developed. Early in the first year, though, and they'll be the first to tell you, I felt really compromised because Jonah played James, at least in the twos, because he'd been injured. And I remember their dad coming over, it would have been half pissed, but being quite outspoken in presentations, yelling out that we'll be back in Victoria in a couple of weeks. So there was this real feeling of, shit, what have I done here, and what have I put this position have I put them in? And And Jonah was really good with him. He hit him up and said, boys, jump on board or piss off home. And clearly the rest is history. And we knew they were too good to be playing twos. And yeah, they've been fantastic for us, haven't they? I still remember their car they had over here. They left it on Melbourne time for at least the first 3 years. They used to buy the Herald Sun every day because they were going home. They were definitely going home to Melbourne. And unfortunately, they got whipped by the hairy lasso in the end, I think we call it, don't we? And they've both got Adelaide girls, and now they're living next door to each other in Broadview, and I guess they're probably not going anywhere in a hurry.
And obviously on the field, they were absolute, you know, superstars, tough as nails. You'd love to play with them, but didn't want to play against them. A bit like, you know, the Magpies back in the day and some of those other sides as well. What were the boys like off the field though, Hills? Because, you know, I've heard some stories that they'd go out of their way to just do anything for anyone, and they've obviously got their building business and stuff like that. For the people that are here tonight and the people watching this at home, yeah, tell us a bit more about the boys.
Well, I think probably the people that are here tonight, and a lot of the people actually have worked that out, that anyone who comes across, yeah, they yell and scream back at supporters on the field, but their bark was way bigger than their bite, and they are these amazingly warm people, to the point where he used to give us the shits because we'd be at sponsor shows or we'd be somewhere and we'd be ready to go, and they'd make sure they kiss every baby, and almost like, I think they thought they were the Pope at times or the Queen, and I guess that's how big they became as a supporter. So there's a reason why they are the most popular. The twins bit helps, also the way they play, but also the way they engage, with the people. They have embraced the folk of Elizabeth, and the folk of Elizabeth certainly embrace them as well.
And you mentioned before Alan Stewart was one of your coaches at the Dogs, who's you know, gone on to have a lot of success as well, and Roy Laird we know about. And Jonah as well, you touched on him. Talk to us through those three different coaches and I guess the differences, and did they like dishing out a big spray heels or?
You know, you're always going to be, probably have a strong attachment to the one that gave you the first chance. Alan Stewart, I've ended up working in a business called Leading Teams that was basically founded on some of the work that was done at Centrals in the early days, based on culture and the idea that that's as important as the skill level and the rest of it at a footy club. And Stewie was big on that, and he helped him, I think, change the culture of the club, and I think that was the turning point of the club. So I've got a massive lot of amount of time for Stewie and what he did for me and for the club. Again, I love Jonah. He was a bit out of Stewie's mould, uncomplicated, but was just passionate about the club and got a good group of people together and loved playing for him. And then there was Clarko, who clearly was a genius, really smart. Certainly we knew that he was destined to bigger things. And Roy, to be honest, it was an honour to play under Roy and captain under Roy. They were probably my most enjoyable times, not necessarily personally the way I played, but captaining under him, I felt empowered. We had played footy together. He wasn't sure if he should take the job when Clarko got sacked, but we all said to him, we had a senior group of players, so it wasn't like he was taking over a bunch of 20-year-olds, but we supported him, and he's just, his record and his legend at Centrals is now, it's not surprising, but it's fantastic and well-deserved. So all of them are in their own way, to be honest, but again, I still have a great relationship with Lady, and he's very underrated, and people see him as this hard-ass coach, and he's definitely got that, but his mind on game day to stay ahead of the game was as good as I've seen.
And you were obviously seeing the tough times and the good times of Centrals during your playing career, and now we've seen the Dogs go through a bit of a tough time and under the new coach Jeff Andrews, who's trying his best. Obviously, it's a tough gig take over from Lairdy. What sort of words of wisdom do you have for Jeff? And you know, how does Centrals turn things around so they get back to that dominant force again, Hills?
Look, I wouldn't just put it to Jeff. Roy certainly found it in the last couple of years to be really tough, didn't he? And I know things have to go in cycles to an extent. I'm probably disappointed it's dropped as far as it has. I think one of the challenges Central has had with our success is we've lost probably a lot of the zones, the areas that we had to recruit from. I'm not sure we're doing as well as we can in the area we've got. Our juniors have been underperforming or performing poorly for a long time. So I think a combination of are we fostering that bunch of kids as well as we can, and the fact that, you know, when I grew up, I know in the country there was an extra three or four associations that were Centrals, and what happens if you keep winning, they'll keep pinching it off you to try and even up, and that makes sense. But the other bit is, through that success, a lot of players were paid well, and it becomes hard to pull that back, and we know there's not unlimited resources and finances out there, and I think the club's just got to get better at recruiting, and I think we've got to get better at working our junior area more. we become complacent, start probably with Roy and Granny there for a long time, it became a touch stale. So I think it's great that we freshen it up, but unfortunately it's got to a point where there's some work to do to get it back.
Yeah, we all hope to see the doggies up and about again, because there's nothing better than the Sandford seeing those supporters going crazy. Now, you took over from Daniel Holm, who retired back in the day, and obviously there was that sad moment when he, you know, ran in front of a train and passed away. Hughes, where were you when this happened, and what was that sort of feeling? And I guess, did it sort of inspire you on to becoming, you know, the premiership skipper that you were?
Yeah, Danny was obviously very much a legendary captain of our club, and the supporters remember him very fondly for what he did and helped turn the club around. Announced his retirement at the end of that premiership year, and so we went into the next year, and I'd only just been recently announced captain. It was probably March or something the next year, and I think it was on, my memory is it was on the eve of one of our first trial games, or on that week. And I'm not sure if it inspired us. I think for a young man, it was really bloody hard to face and hear, and surprised us. And this guy that's larger than life just obviously had some stuff going on that we weren't aware of. And I think that stuff's more and more prevalent 20 years on. And I think hopefully we're talking about it more now. But so it was probably blew us away a bit, to be honest. I know that Clarko referred to it in the first trial, and I certainly think we were conscious of it. And I know the supporters were really conscious of it, of him, as that year went on. I'd like to think I drew a little bit from him. He was certainly a very different player to me. Obviously, he was brilliant with his courage and stuff on field, and any of my teammates will let you know that was not my strong suit, so I had to make up for another area. So I'd like to think you drew from different people along the way, but yeah, he's certainly a legendary figure in the history of the footy club, that's for sure.
Yeah, well said. Now, I want to go into a bit of a light-hearted side of things. I've heard from a couple of your ex-teammates, Hills. Now, let me start with Marco Bello. He said that they like to call you back in the day the Clark Keating of the Stanford. Tell us more about this, mate.
Well, it's actually the first reference I heard. What was Superman's name? Clark Kent. I thought he might have meant Clark Kent when he said it. But Clark Keating is obviously the fella who won a couple of flags and didn't do a whole lot. I'm not sure if that's what Marco's referring to. Marco's a kid that came from Melbourne. Again, like the Gowns, didn't have a lot going for him. What we managed to do to that kid is put him on the map. Before I came back and a few of us came back, he was just an also-ran playing ones in a pretty ordinary side, and we made him a five-time premiership player. So I'd like to think he'd just be grateful that he ever ran into the footy club, to be honest. He might have a point. I might have had a couple of years there where I didn't do a whole lot during the year and snuck into the grand final. So poor old Matthew Krieg, who I'm good mates with and is a fantastic servant of the footy club, he ended up giving up and just leaving the club because he'd play all year, and semi-final would come and he'd get the tap on the shoulder and they'd say he was just coming back from a hamstring injury, and so poor bugger missed out on a couple of flags because of me. So, and he probably would have done a whole lot better on the field. So yeah, Marco might have a point there.
Well, it's actually Aaron Keating, I reckon, by the way. I reckon he won a premiership with Brisbane and then went on and won one at Norwood. So yeah.
That wouldn't be surprising if Marco had it wrong, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, the Crows. The Crows, not Brisbane. The Crows 1 week in 97, actually, and then Norwood as well. So there you go. And Matty Krieg, yeah, great fella, Matty. Went to school with him as well, really good bloke. And the other one, a former teammate of yours, Reece Archard, he calls you Sterlingate back in 2010. Bit of a story there, Hills. What's this all about?
Well, not a teammate, luckily, because I wouldn't have wanted to play with Reece because he was a selfish little prick. But Reece, I coached Reece at North Adelaide. I don't like to talk about my coaching days too much because it didn't go so well, mainly because I had selfish pricks like Reece and Jimmy Allen running around who were thinking about themselves and trying to get me sacked in the end. But I'm not bitter at all with that. No, what Reece is referring to there is in my second year, and it was looking pretty grim, to be honest, and it was a bye late in the year. We couldn't make the finals, so I thought our group were mature enough to head up to a pub on a Friday night and have a few beers, and I went with them, do the right thing, and of course the dickheads got in a blue, didn't they, and it ended up being a pretty big deal, and of course because I was there as well, and the board and the CEO didn't need any excuse they could to try and throw me under, so I ended up having to wear it for that. It'd be fair to say that Reece wouldn't have been front and centre in the brawl, though. He would have been about as far away from it as I was, I would say.
I love it, mate. I hope this gets back to him. I'll certainly make sure it does. And let's talk about some of your toughest opponents. Obviously, you played against some big boys in the AFL and the Sandville. Who are some of your toughest opponents and why, though?
Well, again, the cynics will suggest that I spent a fair bit of my time in the AFL sitting on the bench, so it's hard to have an opponent there. Probably the coach to get me on the field was one of my toughest ones, but probably some of the West Coast. For whatever reason, I've got to play West Coast a few times, and Matera, playing against him, early days, I came off the bench at Crows here one night and played on McLeod. He would have been about 14, I suppose, at the time, and it still embarrassed me. When I tried to play it forward a bit, McKenna, and another day I remember at Sydney, Shane Wakeman and I, we basically did shuttles on and off the bench. We were due to play on Paul Ruse. It was when Paul Ruse late in his career, and he was the master at dropping off you and taking intercept marks. So as a young kid, you'd lead up, you'd be on your own, you'd look around, why aren't they kicking to me? And of course, at St Kilda, you kicked to Stuart Lowe because he marked everything, right? But he had four on him, and so Ruse would take mark after mark, off would come, why aren't you standing on him, and back we go. So had some bloody good opponents. I still reckon, without sound like an old fart, the mid to late 90s was a pretty good standard and a pretty good era for footy, to be honest. Yeah, so it was great to be out there.
And some of your funniest teammates, obviously you spoke about the Gowans boys and some of your former teammates as well, but who are some of the other boys that gave you a good laugh in the AFL and the Sandville, and why?
Probably Spider Everett was good fun. He was loose, but Spider was a good laugh. Didn't take himself too seriously. Matty Slade is the other one, the little fella from Centrals. He's a very funny guy. We get on very well. He loves the stage. He enjoys. He's probably someone you should get on soon, Bevo. He's really good fun. So Slade was good. I'd probably say that group at Centrals. I know we used to go out a lot on Saturday nights. We trained hard and played hard, but then we enjoyed each other's company off the field. And I know we'd go out a lot of Saturday nights, and some of the other teams would, there'd be two or three of them there, and they'd say, "How do you do this?" We'd have 20 blokes there, a lot of the partners there, and we just had a really good timing, luck, maybe a bit of the right people in the right place, bit of everything. But we were pretty lucky. It was a pretty cool, and we weren't afraid to hang shit on each other with the twins and Hoppy and Marco and Slady and others. So it was good fun.
And is there any pranks that you can talk about as well at the Saints or the Dogs that you might have come across, or especially with these Gowans boys? Surely there must be a few to tell.
To be honest, we weren't as we weren't as sophisticated back then, and certainly the twins are way too simple to be playing pranks on anyone. Pranks weren't a big deal, to be honest. No, the twins, probably what I remember them for is them and I. This is probably adults only, so we'll see how we go here. But in the shower, we were the three probably who were least impressive in the shower, it's fair to say. But we would do the judging and assessing as the other boys came in, and that was always fun. Those times bands were fun, but as far as pranks, we probably didn't do a whole lot of that, I've got to say.
That's the best thing about playing footy, isn't it? Just the footy banter and stuff like that in the change rooms. And I know people sort of, I guess people don't understand that. I want to get your thoughts on this as well. The situation with Richmond the other week, I was actually quite annoyed by it, Hills, because I understand that, you know, players are in a public place and stuff like that. And that's probably why they need to think about where the cameras are put and, you know, the appropriate times, because players should still be able to enjoy their banter and their company. And, you know, personally playing footy for 20 plus years, I love that, you know, the banter and the change room, much worse than what Richmond boys did, and that was just fun, you know, with your mates. That's what you look forward to the most. And I just want to hear your thoughts from that sort of perspective.
You're talking about the touch of the arse?
Yeah, it's funny.
I waver a bit. My first thought is that we've just gone mad in the world. People talking sexual assault, I'm thinking, let's ask the young man if he's got an issue with it. I would bet a fair bit of money that he hasn't got an issue with it. Even that it's a bad look, you know, there's a great picture of the hockey girls for Australia years ago, a girl called Georgie Parker. She's got her hand on the bum of one of her teammates, their arm in arm. She's got a group in her ass. And I just have a laugh when I see it. And I think now, if that happened now, we'd have to say, well, you can't do that. I think we've gone too far. On the other hand, if they're not comfortable with that, then it's a different story. But it was just some jest in the moment. As you say, gee, we did a fair bit of that sort of stuff in our day. And look, but then I do reflect and think, look, maybe there were guys that weren't comfortable with it and they just had to put up with it. Maybe that's not fair. It is a workplace, so I get that as well. But I think we just got to be careful of telling people how they should be feeling, because I don't think that group looked like there's an issue with it.
Yeah, well said. You've got to have a bit of fun in life. Too many people just take things too seriously, especially this COVID situation. So, and before I let you go, mate, just one final question. You touched before leading teams, doing great things. What's your role there? And for the people that sort of out there that don't know what leading teams is, tell us more about it.
Yeah, so I love that it's come full circle. As I said, 20-odd years ago, when we were a pretty ordinary footy club at Centrals, a fellow by the name of Ray McLean, who was working at the RAF base out in Edinburgh, training pilots in leadership and doing things very differently to what had been done historically. Obviously, the Air Force had been very autocratic, and he was flipping it around and trying this empowerment model where the players, the followers, had some say in what happened. And he wanted to trial it on the wider world, and Stewie and him talk about when two fools collide. We didn't have a lot to lose at Centrals. We've been going like a bucket of shit for 30 years, and Stewie wanted to change that. And so my first experience with this model was on a camp in Palmer where, yes, we got flogged the shit out of us, but also we started to talk about this culture and what we wanted to create and what behaviours we would accept and we wouldn't accept. And as a result of that, we lost some good players along the way who didn't want to jump on the bus with us, but what we did was create something that, in my opinion, again, turned things around. And then I went to St Kilda, and this Ray McLean fellow was at St Kilda working with Stan Alves, and again I saw a positive change. So I guess from a very young age it made sense to me that if people are going to judge me on how I behave rather than how many games I played, how many BNFs I've won, how many chicks I could pick up at a nightclub, it was based on that rather than the old school, you don't speak till you're 30 years old or whatever. So, and so then 7 years ago, I'd done some coaching, as you know, and I ended up at Port, and I thought, I need another challenge, and I reconnected with Ray and Justin Peckett, who was an old Saints teammate who works at leading teams, and they said, well, we haven't got anyone in Adelaide, what about it? And I took the punt and left the footy world, and 7 years on, I'm very lucky, it's the best thing I've ever done. I'm now a part owner of the business, and basically we work with mainly businesses these days, a lot of sporting teams, but most of our stuff's with businesses and teams, and it's just helping teams work together better, like we did with that footy team, to help them do whatever they want, their bottom line basically. But I get great satisfaction out of helping people, seeing this model work in action in any given team, and so I'm very lucky to get to do something I love every day.
Well, Hills, it's been a wonderful story. Thank you so much for sharing it tonight. And, I certainly had a good laugh. I'm sure everyone else here did tonight as well. Well done on your career, 5 premierships, 135 games, obviously the 38 of AFL as well. An amazing achievement. Big round of applause, everyone, for Daniel Hills Healy.
Thank you, everyone.